Making sure I'm on here. And I'm on what I'm told. Well, if you're new here to Submerged Church, I want to give you an extra warm welcome. My name's Tyler. I am a deacon here at Submerged Church. And if this is your first time, we do have a little slip in the back there you can fill out. Let us know that you were here, and we'd be most appreciative if you dropped that off in the offering box in the back. We don't pass an offering box or offering plate, so if you so feel called to tithe, to give to the Lord, then we do put that in the offering box back there. Just want to go over a few announcements here. One, we have March 31st right here. It's going to be Dry Bones Can Live Again. Al Whittinghill will be speaking, and this is on revival. This is going to be at the Calvary United Methodist Church on Sunday, March 31st. They haven't pinned down the time, 6 or 7, but Pastor Paul was just talking about what an amazing speaker this gentleman is. And that it really stirred his heart when he went and listened to this guy in Bemidji. Not Bemidji, I'm sorry, Bismarck. Anyway, I would really encourage you to mark your calendars, and if you have the chance to go and listen to this guy, it could really stir your heart as well. And we really do want God to create a revival in America to bring back more Christian values, what values that this country was based upon, values that are near and dear to our hearts. There's a reason why people are flooding in and want to be part of the United States. And it's not just because of our economy or anything like that. Those are parts of it. It really is because of the foundation that our country was based on. And that really is godly principles. Today is the last day for the Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. I'll tell you what, if you're a procrastinator like myself, which, praise the Lord, I'm married to Becky, and she already took care of our boxes. But if you haven't, let me know today. And I'm going to be grabbing the boxes that are already back there. And if you can get them to me sometime today, contact me after church and tell me you're going to get one box done and get it to me today or tomorrow at the latest, then we can get that dropped off because they are due this week. And so I'm going to be dropping those off. But it is a great thing that they do. They basically go to third world countries and they get gifts for children. And then they have the gospel message in there. So not only are they getting a gift, which they would never get normally, they're going to be getting the gospel, which is the gift that we really would love to bless others with. So that is something I encourage you to look into, pray about. As well, right. This week we're going to be having house church at the Letvins. That will be Wednesday at 6:30. I really love in that sweet time that we have. It's kind of like a mini version of a Sunday. We do music. There's a little 10-minute to 15-minute just refresher word that's been given out, and so I'd really encourage you guys to come to that as well. Next week is our fellowship meal. We're going to be doing Korean food, so I would really encourage you guys to come next Sunday if you want some delicious Korean food. I'm going to be making some of the food. There's going to be others that are going to be making other Korean food, but there's going to be a great spread. So I would really encourage you guys to come. If you have any friends would love to have a free meal, I'm sure there are plenty. Matter of fact, the first time I stepped foot into a church after becoming a believer was because a young lady invited me for a free meal. And I was like, oh, that's great. And she gave me a ride, and I went for the free meal, and I was looking for a church anyway, and decided that that was the place I wanted to go, and they ended up doing lots of free meals. So I was getting fed not only in my stomach, but in my soul as well from the Word. Faith Walkers, you have an insert in your bulletin here. Still not too late to sign up for that. And if you are one that does not like to commit to things, then I know that you're still holding off. And I would encourage you that if you are like, hey, this sounds good, I just don't know if I can get the time off, I don't know if my finances will be in it, let us know if finances are the only reason you can't go. And we will see if there's a way to get you there anyway. But don't write it off your schedule. If you're looking at, I might be able to get the time off, might not be. I would really encourage you to see if you can get it off. And if you can get it off, then we'll cross the second bridge when we get there. But, you know, it's important to be able to honor your boss there if you have to be there. But if you can get it off, well, I tell you, it's an investment in your spiritual life that you will not regret going. Becky and I have gone to as many as we can. This year we've chose not to, but we really want to go back the year after. We go to them. Well, when there was a period of time, I think we went to like four or five straight, and it was amazing each time to hear the word being spoken. The singing together, just the rejoicing with brothers and sisters in Christ that that we just unite is just a blessed time. And then they have mini sessions. And if there's something that you're kind of struggling in your life on, or if there's some area that you're like, Lord, I just need help in this, my identity in you, or my finances, or my marriage, there is mini sessions that they have with those topics. And they really are a blessing. And you can just go, okay, I'm going to go to this one over here. And they're free if you've already signed up for the conference. So I really encourage you guys to be part of that. All right. So let me look at the time here. Time is, what's that? All right. So, yeah, I got one good eye today. So I don't know if you guys remember when I first, 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, as we were coming here, Becky and I got the new job. I came down with Bell's palsy. I don't know if you know what that is, but basically half my face shut down. It's kind of like a stroke, except for it wasn't a stroke. It's not that bad for your body, but your face looks like it. Side of your mouth's not really working. Your eye, my eye is starting to go back into the not working very well. So I'm kind of looking with one eye that far, and it doesn't work very well. But I'm going to read to you guys something from the Veterans Service from the Cass County, and we're going to honor that with them at 11 o'clock. So it says, they're asking to support ensuring Cass County to participate in a major event that is by ringing the bells of their facility. If we do not have bells or horns available, they ask our organization to participate by conducting a simple remembrance commemorating the 100th anniversary to the end of the Great War, recognizing the sacrifices of brave North Dakotans. It says here that, and that's, they said Sunday, November 11th at 11 a.m., they said the National World War I Centennial Commission is this year. I don't know if you knew that. 100 years. And so at 11, we're going to have a minute of just honoring the World War I vets of North Dakota. But, you know, that's just because this is North Dakota local government. Truthfully, we'll just honor those who have sacrificed altogether. One thing I'll say before we get to 11 o'clock, because it's still a few minutes away, is just to separate the difference between Veterans Day, Memorial Day, if you don't know what that really is. The truth is that when we do Memorial Day, that is the day that usually is for those who have fallen. Those are the day that we honor those that didn't make it, that sacrificed their life. On Veterans Day is to honor those who signed up and were part of the military or drafted that are still alive. And one of the things that really is really makes me think is I was watching a movie and they were making fun of the fact that when people go to funerals, they will write this beautiful thing about people that have passed. They will talk about how they've touched their lives. They will talk about how meaningful this person was to them, how great they were, and yet they may never have uttered those words to them while they were alive. And the truth to me is that on Veterans Day is the day to honor those people while they're still alive, while they're still able to hear you say those things, that's the time to honor the living. And not only those that signed to sacrifice, but the families as well, the children, the wives, the parents of those who enlisted, and maybe at that point in time, their family, that person who passed away, their families we honor as well because they're still living, they're still there, suffering from the loss of ones they love, and I would really encourage you to think about that when you think about the people that are in your lives that you care about, that you love, those, for example, veterans that we just say, you know what? Well, on Veterans Day, you know, they'll have a memorial or they'll have a speech. You know, we'll honor them at that time. And the truth is that we can do that as individuals right away. We can do that throughout our normal daily lives. We can honor them. So anyway, I'm going to do the reading before, because I think we still have, we have 2 minutes? All right. Well, you know what? I'll just pray for 2 minutes. Nothing wrong with praying for a little bit. Father, thank you so much for our great country. Thank you for you blessing us to be in this great country. Thank you for those that have sacrificed their lives. Thank you for those who in the early stages of our country, Lord, were God-fearing men and women that guided this country to have biblical principles. Father, we are so blessed beyond measure. And as I think about the message today, to thank veterans and to thank God for veterans, it is you who gave us veterans, that planted the characters in veterans to be able to stand and run into gunfire while everybody's running away, while they stand firmly on the principles of defending those who can't. Father, you sacrificed. You sent your son. And he gave the ultimate price for sins that he did not commit. He showed us the greatest act of love. And today, Lord, we honor the North Dakotans and all veterans for World War I, II, the Korean conflict, Vietnam War, and Desert Storm, Afghanistan, and other conflicts, Lord. We pray for them, their families. And we hold a moment of silence with others around the state and the country for this time. I pray these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So today is Veterans Day. And as I mentioned, today we're going to honor veterans. And one of the way that I thought about honoring veterans was just talking about the great characteristics about veterans. Now, of course, I'm using generic things. And the reason I state that is because, you know, there's good apples, bad apples. But for the most part, when you hear a eulogy, they don't bicker over the little details, right? They talk about the good things. They try to leave the bad things. And today we're going to talk about the good things, right? So, I know most of you, but if I don't know you and that you're a veteran, first off, I'd love to know if we have any veterans in the audience. We have one. Well, let's give them a round of applause, huh? I too am a veteran. My company, the wonderful thing about it is they give me a Tervis tumbler, it's funny because I got something the year before, and this year we didn't receive anything. I was kind of anticipating it, but anyway, I don't need to get one of those to be grateful or thankful. But it is something when veterans meet and they talk, there's a level of respect that they have. And the truth is that it's because of there's certain things that you understand as a veteran to another veteran that you go, you've been in my shoes. You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the same conflict I was. It doesn't matter if you weren't in a conflict. You know what? You still had the chance that you could be. The fact that you signed up, you went through your tour, your time, the time in your enlistment, you could have been called to go anywhere. And there's a level of respect for that. So the big message, if you get a 911 emergency call on your phone today, then I want you to remember is to thank veterans, but thank God for the veterans. And it's really important that we do that because if it wasn't for God giving us veterans, I can tell you this, I've seen men that I would follow into combat without question, and there's people in this world I wouldn't follow anywhere. It's just the truth of it, and there's people that just have the characteristics that you just go, you know what, this guy knows what he's talking about, and he talks the talk, and he walks the walk. So we're going to talk about what does it take to be a veteran, and really this is a kind of a characteristic list of veterans, biblical characteristics. So the first one, they must be one that knows and understands what it is to be under authority. This one's a pretty big one because when you're in the military, you start out, if you're enlisted like I was, you are a private and basically anybody and everybody is above you, outrank you, and you have to understand that you have no rights. They're going to yell at you, tell you what to do. And the truth is that the sooner you realize that, the sooner you'll make your life easier. The sooner that you can just follow orders. And it's not like I'm talking about abuse of power or anything like that. I'm talking about when you have a unit, you have somebody in charge. And if the team isn't on task together with knowing who's in charge and listening to that one common voice, what happens is you will get out of sync and you will be ineffective. I was part of a Dragon Boat Festival in Bemidji. And what that is, it's a long boat and you got people rowing on both sides of this boat. And there's a guy up front and he normally has a drum, and there's a guy in the back steering the boat. And the guy in the front is in charge. He is the rhythm. He is the heartbeat of that boat. And as we row that boat, we have to row in synchronization of that beat. And so if you don't follow his order, his command, what happens is one guy has his oar in the water and is pushing or pulling that boat, while the other one has his oar in the water and is actually creating resistance. And you can watch it from a distance, and it kind of looks like a slinky, and people are just everywhere rowing. And your ability to move that boat is very, very poor. Versus if you watch the boats, that their oars hit the water at the same time and move, they just glide. All right? It's the difference between having a good leader and a poor leader. And in when you're a veteran, you have to understand that if you're a private, you're not the leader. You just have to be in synchronization and understand your role at that point. And that one day, you might be the leader. And if you were a good follower, people will follow too, because they can follow you. Well, Romans chapter 13 talks about authority in a different kind. It talks about your local authority. It really goes into that. And we just had elections, right? How fitting we just had elections, and we're talking about local authority. Because what's important about that is that when I had an employee, and she was like, well, you know what? I didn't vote because this doesn't really matter. I won't really complain about what happens afterwards. But the truth is that our local authorities, if you're a believer, you are to honor our local authority. We are to respect them. We are to follow the laws that they create. So why is that important? Because your vote has a direct correlation on who gets elected. Who's going to create the laws that you have to abide by? You better hope that those people are God-fearing people, that they will create laws that will honor God. And if you believe that, you believe that your vote can matter, because God can use your vote with your vote with your vote to matter. And therefore, the people get elected. Now, can God use people that we don't vote for? Absolutely. God is sovereign. But it is still the ability that we should not say, it doesn't matter, that we go out and use our vote. But it is for us to understand that we are to be under authority. Spiritual authority is even more important. You know, when Becky and I were getting married, we went through pre-marriage, and Pastor Bob did our pre-marriage. One of the things that he stated to me, and it just echoes through my memory, and it's one of the things I probably will never forget, is he said, and he said this not about anybody specific, but he said this. He said, if the person you're looking at marrying, you're engaged to, is not under authority, he said, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Like, just wouldn't do it. If they're not under spiritual authority, then I wouldn't go down this road with them. It's not good. One of the greatest comforts that you get from your significant other, your spouse, is for them to say, you know what, I am under God's spiritual authority. And if they are following what Christ is calling them to, well, Christ hates divorce. Christ hates that someone would go and cheat on their spouse, right? So if you're under his authority, boy, it gives me great security that I know that my spouse would not be searching for a divorce, wouldn't want to go and cheat on me, because she's under God's authority. And so I tell you that this one is a big one. In and out of your spiritual life, that a veteran understands what it is to be under authority. The next one is, they must be strong and courageous and have faith that God is with them wherever they go. You know, when I was when I was in the service, I was not a believer. But when I see men and women that have courage, when I see that, I really am impressed that God gave these people the courage to face things that the average person would run from. That they are able to react, not get shell-shocked, then they won't freeze up in a moment, but they act in a way that they're trained to, that they are called to. As I stated before, some will stand there and run towards danger while others run from it. And it's a natural reaction. It's our natural reaction that if there's something bad happening, you run from it. There's a shooting, you run from it. That's the natural reaction. You want to get away from that danger. But the truth is that if everybody just ran, then nobody bad things would just continue to happen. People have to be able to be confronted on them. And that's why there's police officers, military. Do we understand what it is to have that faith, that assurance that wherever we go, that God is with us? And I'm not talking about just a location on a map. I'm talking about also in our lives. There's times in our lives where we get deep and dark and depressed. We don't believe in ourselves. We think we're worthless. We don't know what we're even supposed to be doing. God is with us. That's not a location. That's a state of where you are emotionally and spiritually. God is with us at that point in time. And praise the Lord, because He's a light to carry us out of that spot. I have been in very, very dark spots in my life. I have been sitting in spots that I just thought, there's no point for me to go on. There was no point for me to continue on. You know, before I got saved, there were warrants out for my arrest. I didn't have a driver's license. I had no money to my name. I was driving a car that wasn't registered. The thing barely could drive. And I tried to do it on my own for 10 years. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and do this thing called life. And I thought I'd be great at it. And I sucked. I was horrible at it. And it wasn't until I got saved and God was with me through that. And I said, God, you can't do any worse than I have done already. You can't. So I said, you know what? My life is yours. Whatever you call me to, I'll do. And you know what? My life has never been greater. My life has never been more rich. Because see, I don't have to sit there and go, what am I going to do with my life next? God is in control. And He is with me. And when I think things are going maybe not the greatest right now, I go, you know what, Lord, you got to do something. Because it's not going well. My job at work, we have numbers that we deal with all the time. And I go, Lord, my numbers are not getting delivered. I don't know what you're going to do. You got to get these people, they won't even answer the phone to talk to me. You got to get these people to pay their bill. they won't answer. They won't return a phone call, so you got to get them to do something. And there's times, I kid you not, I'll get there on the last day of the month, there's a little envelope with their name on it, a little bit of money. Might not even be all the money they owe, but just enough to help their account out. I've told my boss more than one occasion, I said, you know what? I don't know how we're going to do it. I'm just going to have to pray. God is with us. We have to be courageous in that. The next one. They must know that God is sovereign. That any battle skills come from the Lord. They understand that He is the one who protects, who defeats their enemies. You know, King David, this verse, this one right here, I think about King David. And when he faced Goliath, he had no military skills. He had no military training. He had no military gear. They tried to put it on him, and then he was like, there's no way. But you know what he had? He had battle skills that came from the Lord. He knew God was sovereign. He's not only sovereign over the swords, the fighting, the muscles, the Goliath height that he had, the armies. He's in control of a rock, a stone. He was in control of where that stone landed. That one stone would drop a man that everybody was afraid of. That a whole nation feared to fight. That they were like, there's no way we can win. There's no way we can beat this guy. And yet David knew that God is sovereign. Psalms 144, 1 and 2 says, O David, blessed be the Lord, my rock who trains my hands of war, my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love, my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. I don't know that term, subdue. Think of it as wrestling. You know, when you subdue somebody, you basically have them in a hold that they can't do anything. They are helpless. And God will bring people so that they can't do anything. And for a veteran to understand God's sovereignty in that and to understand that the skills that they need come from Him. For the point before the courage they need, they will call the Lord and say, God, it's only you who can give me the type of courage I need. And to deliver these enemies, to subdue them. Psalms 108, 12 and 13 says, O, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. I watched this movie one time, and it was called Kingdom of Heaven. And the leader of the opposing army, they were Muslim, and he was speaking to his generals, and they were like, you know, our God is going to deliver us on this war, and we're going to win. And he said, we're in the middle of a desert. The fact that they're foolish enough to come out of their castle and not have water, not have resupply of food that they haven't rested in days is going to help us win this war. And they're like, that's blasphemy. You're not going to say that our God is... He says, I believe that our God's going to help us. But he goes, also, that we have the strategy as well. And what was important to me to understand that is that God gives us the skill, the intelligence, the battle planning, the tacticians, the logistics in it. Because wars have been won and lost by logistics. If you can't resupply the soldiers' food up front, if you can't get them bullets, then they can't shoot the enemy. They cannot survive while they're starving of food. Logistics. God blesses people with intelligence to be able to understand that. It's a tactical part. The next one. They do not fear or panic because they know God is with them and will give them victory. Deuteronomy 21 through 4. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. The amazing part of that very end is that he goes to fight against your enemies and to give you the victory. One thing that we need to remember as believers, as Satan bogs you down, has you down, is that Christ has already made us victorious. You know, there's times I just think, I'm just finishing up these little battles that are left, but God has already won the war. I just got to finish up these little battles that are left until Christ comes back, and we have already won. It's guaranteed. If you ever saw the movie Back to the Future, guy gets a little magazine that tells all the sports, all the outcomes, and says, and so that he can go, as he goes through time, he's able to bet on every game, and he becomes filthy rich. Well, the truth is that we don't know the time or the hour that Christ is going to come back. But we've already been delivered the magazine that says we are going to be victorious. God's already won. We can bet on that. Next point, they know that there is time to act, a time for war. Ecclesiastes 3:8. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. You know, that's from King Solomon. And some people read that and they go, whoa, time to hate. Isn't God love? Yes, he is. You know what God hates? Sin. Seems kind of crazy, our God, our loving God. But he hates sin. And there's a time that we cannot just sit idly by and allow people to walk all over us. God never said that, just allow it. So there's a time for war. And veterans understand that. You know, I think about Vietnam, and I was not. Obviously, I'm not that old. I'm old, but not that old. And I can't fathom coming back from Vietnam and have people spit at you, throw stuff at you, and blame you as a soldier that's defending the rights of the country, and to blame you and disrespect you for what you've put on the line. But a veteran understands that there's a time for war. They understand and revel. They enjoy the time for peace. And they hope for it. But when it's time for war, they take up their arms and they go and do it. They deliver. There are times that we're called to war. Biblically, God sent people to war. Sometimes it was uncharacteristic of how wars were. Marching around a city, playing trumpets. I guarantee you we don't hear that anymore. They didn't really hear it back then. They thought it was crazy. But God delivers victories in ways that we can never imagine. But there are times for war. King Solomon, the wisest man ever to walk on this earth, barring Christ, said that. And he understood that. Lastly, they know the love that we are commanded to give, to which the Bible said there is no greater love. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. There's movies and movies about military movies, and there's so many times that you just watch men that have, and women that have sacrificed their life to help out the rest of their soldiers. Saw this one clip where a grenade came in to an area around all of these other soldiers, and he didn't want all of his unit dying or getting injured, and so he jumped on the grenade. Dying almost instantly, but saving everyone else. Jesus jumped on all the grenades so that we don't have to be collateral damage in this war, that we can live free. Veterans, when they sign up on the line, or those that got drafted, understood that they may sacrifice their life and that they may not make it back to their loved ones, but it was something they were willing to sacrifice. George Patton said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we shall thank God that such men lived." And then I guarantee you he didn't mean that we should not mourn with those who mourn, which is biblical. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't honor those who have died. What it really means is, let's honor the veterans as they're alive. Let's not have to wait until we're giving a eulogy to honor those who went and sacrificed. And if they're alive, honor them more. Because there's so many times we wait until they're passed. Thank God for veterans for serving, and thank God for veterans. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the veterans that are right now still in conflict. There are conflicts all over the world. There's men and women that have their life on the line right now. Prisoners of war. There are people that are right now holding at a duty station. Right now walking the perimeter. Right now they're laying in the dirt, holding on to their rifle, and they're watching their area, making sure no enemy comes in their path. Father, we pray for those men and women. We honor them today. And we thank you for giving them the courage. We thank you for their heart. We pray for them that you would be with them wherever they go. And we thank you for being sovereign. And today, as we go on, Lord, and we go about our day, may we remember veterans today. And may we thank you for them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.